Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today I speak to Leon Bridges. It's a lovely chat. When I first heard Leon's debut album, maybe 6 years ago now, knocked me sideways. Just beautiful soul music. And to watch his career then grow and grow and grow. And to get to the point where now, you know, we're talking new records, you know, pandemic closing, new tours. And yeah, just getting a really lovely opportunity to sit and talk to an artist that I have a lot of time and respect and interest in. So, you know, I get spoiled sometimes on this podcast, and this was one that I actively really chased because, I as a fan, I really wanted to get an opportunity to sit and talk to Leon, and it's a lovely chat, and you're about to hear it. A few thank yous. I'd like to thank Rob. I'd like to thank 76 for producing this episode. I'd like to thank Scroobius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. And you lot, you know, we talk a lot on these newer episodes of, you know, of things being post-lockdown, which seemed a long way away, you know, a year ago. And it's so lovely that you've kind of supported this podcast, you know, through the darker days of lockdown, and now you're still here, and you're listening, and you're supporting, and you're engaging, and you're giving me likes, loves, shares, retweets on the socials. It's so kind of you, and honestly, you know, the support this podcast gets is something I'm very, 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 very proud of, and so thank you so much. If this is your first time listening, then when you finish listening to my chat with Leon, then go and explore the back catalogue, because you can hear me talking to, where do I start? I mean, I'm going to end up saying the same names, because even though I've had maybe 350 of these episodes now, the only names ever pop into my head are Foo Fighters, Butch Vig, Fatboy Slim, Motley Crue. I spoke to Tommy Lee of Motley Crue. That was a wild and fun chat. But then, you know, if you like, I spoke to Chuck D of Public Enemy. That was a wonderful chat. Sleaford Mods, Idols, Suede. I was actually flicking through the other day and I was like, I forgot I spoke to them. So I'm not going to try and reel them all off because we'll be here all day and I want to get on with today's episode, but go and have an explore. You can find out about everything you need to know about this podcast. You can get it in all the usual places you get your pods, or just your one-stop shop is offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. Right, let's get on with it. Please enjoy Off the Beat and Track Podcast with the wonderful Leon Bridges. Sorry, I've interrupted the podcast, but with good reason. Hotel Chocolat are our sponsors. You know that now because I tell you about it every episode. But they've been super kind now. And you may have heard me talking about the products from the cacao bar. And there's gins, cream liqueurs, all sorts of wonderful chocolatey goodies. And what they've done is they've set a page up on the website that you can go to. And all you've got to do is, just for you Off the Beaten Track listeners, go over there, answer a question, and you could win the full range delivered to your front door. I mean, that's kind of them. All you have to do is go to this place, hotelchocolat.com/OTBT podcast. That's OTBT as in off the beaten track podcast. hotelchocolat.com/OTBT podcast. Go get your grubby little mitts on some deliciously chocolatey drinks, courtesy of our sponsors, Hotel Chocolat. I'll get back to the podcast. It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin. Okay, we are recording. Leon, how are you today?
I am wonderful. I'm currently at home in Fort Worth, Texas.
What's the sort of situation like, without sort of getting too bogged down into sort of pandemic chat, the UK has changed in, and the restrictions have dropped and we're all back at it now. And so what's the situation like where you are?
Right. So it's interesting because, like, you know, during the height of COVID, I guess, you know, the South kind of lit, you know, operated as if COVID didn't exist. But now everything's just pretty much open, you know, and which is good for the, you know, the music industry, because, you know, now we can get back on the road and get to it.
And so, you know, last kind of question on that side of things, you know, over the last, you know, 15, 16 months, have you found the situation that we've all been thrown into? How has that how did that affect you personally, and how did it affect you creatively?
You know, during that time, you know, not to be oblivious, you know, to how everyone else was experiencing it. But it was very healing for me. You know, a lot of us musicians were just, ever since we signed the dotted line, we're just constantly on the go. And it was really nice to be still. And there was almost this like reconnecting with the natural highs, you know, in life, of just the simplicity of nature, and picking up my guitar and spending more time with that. And it was really good for me.
Did it feel sort of comfortable, the sort of creative process? And I've spoke to many people on here that kind of echoed a little bit of what you said, where insofar as, you know, they're constantly touring, and then all of a sudden all of that stopped. So it's like, right, now I've got to write an album. And it's like, and it felt for some people a bit forced. It's like, no, I've got the time and I've got to do it. Did your creativity, is it something that you ever sort of push and force, or is it something that you just kind of allow to happen and then sort of, you know, move on that once you feel it's flowing?
Totally. Yeah. I, you know, definitely, you know, just allowed to, you know, all that stuff to happen organically. And I was lucky enough to where I had pretty much finished the whole album before the pandemic. And it was a really awesome time of creativity, because, you know, just no deadlines, you know, and I was at, you know, just able to dig in into, you know, some sounds and vibes that, you know, probably might not see the light of day.
Sure.
But it was really, really nice time for creating.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start your playlist today. Right. And I'm going to ask you first, please, to tell me, I don't know if you've got your list in front of you, if you remember what you chose. But I'm going to ask you to tell me the song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
Oh, yeah. So Meeting in My Bedroom, which is like my R&B anthem. You know, I would deem Silk, this band, as probably one of the greatest R&B groups. And when you look at the, you know, this intro, there's just like really thick bass line, and then into the, and then there's just like, you know, the typical R&B monologue speaking sexy, you know, like how they used to do around that era. Yeah. And the beat drops. Meeting in My Bedroom. It's sexy.
And yeah, I mean, it can't not be sexy if it's called Meeting in My Bedroom. In regards to songwriting and predominantly intros as well, Leon, I, you know, over the probably, you know, in the time when maybe Silk wrote that, the way that people listen to music is far different now. The way that, you know, lots of younger people now are are finding their music in all manner of apps and fast moving thumbs seem to be getting faster. So with that in mind, the kind of, I guess maybe the attention span's getting slightly shorter. Are they ever considerations when you're writing?
For myself, you know, because like these days, like people, you know, everything is just kind of single based, and I'm more concerned about, you know, longevity in my career. And I think the thing that stands the test of time is cultivating albums to where like you know, literally just, you know, press play and listen to the whole thing.
Sure.
And I'm fine with that, you know. But I do see how in certain circles and, you know, with certain artists that, you know, the reality of people having short attention spans and not really committing to a whole album, I can see how that can affect how some artists craft their music.
See, I don't know if you agree, but I think when I look at it and I see lots of kind of maybe more sort of commercial pop music is being almost created to almost like a sort of formula and a science now to hook them in the first X amount of seconds, and the song starts with the chorus, and it's, you know, the whole song's a minute and a half long. And I find that them kind of sort of trends and changes are more fashionable. Whereas I think if you're looking for more longevity in your career, I think having your own style will far outweigh fashion at any given point. Fashions come and go, style's consistent, right? Did you get what I'm saying with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and it's like, you know, not to diminish anything about, you know, pop songs, you know, but like, I think people, you know, the consumers are hungry for something that is outside the box.
Yeah,
and it's a reflection of like of how an artist like me can thrive, you know, in the midst of this pop world.
Okay, I'm going to take you back, and for track two, Leon, I'm going to ask you please to tell me the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
Yeah, for me, it was A Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke. And I remember when I was a kid, I was watching the Malcolm X biopic starring Denzel Washington. I was watching that with my father, and that song was playing throughout the film. And I just remember, like, it just immediately just kind of striking, just kind of heavy feeling within me. And I remember asking my dad, like, you know, who is this artist? And he was like, yeah, this was your grandmother's, you know, favorite artist, Sam Cooke. And Change Is Gonna Come is like probably one of the most beautiful songs ever written.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, as far as intros go, the strings that start that are just glorious. And then, oh my God, when he opens his mouth, it's just different level. It's different level what comes out of his mouth. And I mean, I think the fact that you've referenced that film as well, and that song is such a pivotal moment in that scene as well. It's very evocative and emotional. And it's really weird because I'm 48, and in the UK, in around, I think, about 1988, Sam Cooke, Wonderful World, got used on a commercial. Mm. And so it kind of introduced me to Sam Cooke. I heard Wonderful World, and I was like, this is great. And then I heard Cupid, and I was like, wow. And I bought this compilation record, and I was probably like maybe sort of 14, 15. And it was all just beautiful soul music. And then that track come on, And I was like, whoa, this is this has got a different weight to it than anything else on this record. It's like, and I think that it was probably a bit of an awakening for me to you know, trying to, you know, understand what he was singing about. And, you know, the gravitas of that was absolutely eye-opening. And I think that, you know, that song is, you know, it is, it's so symbolic and so important, and to this day is as, it cuts as deep as it ever has, I think.
Right. And, you know, that was almost a response to, you know, Bob Dylan. And I believe this song is Blowing in the Wind.
Yeah.
I think Sam Cooke, you know, said something to the effect of, like, you know, how can, you know, these white artists, you know, write these protest songs and we haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be honest, doing something like writing a song like that as a black man could damn near be detrimental to your career around that, to their careers around that time. And when you look at, like, Sam Cooke's catalog, obviously he was a great songwriter, but so many of those songs are, like, almost a little polished and kind of bubblegum feeling.
Yeah.
And Change Is Gonna Come was, like, almost like a return to his roots.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I mean, growing up, you said that your father explained to you that, you know, Sam Cooke was something that your grandmother had listened to. Was there always music on at home? Did you grow up in a musical household?
Definitely. You know, I kind of experienced, like, kind of different sides of the R&B spectrum growing up. And, you know, my parents separated when I was really young. And, you know, my mother gravitated towards artists like Sade and Anita Baker and that kind of thing. My father gravitated towards Otis Redding and Bobby Womack. Stevie Wonder, Earth, Wind & Fire, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I would say in ways that music definitely shaped me. And it's almost like when I write, those things kind of happen subconsciously.
It is crazy that, isn't it? How something from so long ago, some little skit or some little kind of chord progression can just, when you're writing, just, it can just trigger it. And it's just like, yeah, that's that track 4 on Diamond Life by Sade or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's like that. It can just kind of, it's just ingrained. And I love that, when music sort of seeps into the fabric of everyday life. And before you know it, you're referencing it, you know, just organically, for want of a better description.
Totally. It's beautiful how it happens. And, you know, when I write, you know, every creative is trying to, you know, say things that hasn't been done before, and use sounds that hasn't been done before. And it's hard because, like, there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
But I think what makes music refreshing is, like, you know, pulling from different things. And for example, like, when I'm writing, you know, I'm literally thinking of, like, okay, how can I emulate Willie Nelson and Ginuwine and Curtis Mayfield in one song? And I think that, you know, my Texas roots and the soul thing and the R&B thing just, like, really makes the music interesting.
Listen up.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I've only got another new sponsor, Egg Fried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humour in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, they do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this. They have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, EGGSALAD, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Egg Fried. Also, they've got a new kids range, and it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com. Staying in the formative years, for track three, I'm going to ask you, please, to tell me the song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
So, it's Confessions by Usher. And that was the soundtrack to, you know, my high school years, essentially. And Usher is just one of those artists that, you know, he's an example of an artist that's he's, you know, started in the 90s and still and still has managed to be relevant, you know. And you know, growing up, I was really intrigued with dance and and Usher embodied all that.
Yeah. And in regards to school, was that something you enjoyed?
Indifferent about it, you know, like, I think the one thing that I didn't like about it is, you know, it was really complicated to like find friends. And you know, it was like one of those things that like, you know, I just couldn't find like what circle I fit in. And so, you know, I was mostly, you know, kind of a lone wolf, you know, throughout high school.
Were you confident?
I wasn't. But it was funny, like in my senior year, I was able to kind of muster up some confidence. I ended up in signing up for the talent show. And the whole time, like, I was just kind of like, I was kind of hiding the fact that I could dance. And it's funny because like, I was like known as like the bashful, you know, kind of weird kid, and signed up for the talent show and like kind of did my thing in front of, you know, my peers, and people were just shocked.
Yeah. Don't you think the bashful weird kids are always the most interesting ones, though?
I think so.
Yeah, definitely. So I take it you was quite a creative kid. And was that encouraged at school, if so?
You know, I kind of dipped, you know, when I was a kid, I dipped and dabbled in art a little bit. I used to love, you know, to draw. And that's a thing is like, you know, yeah, I can say that, you know, like I would say like, you know, my art teacher, definitely like just like encouraged me to just kind of keep going in that, you know, but it was weird. Cause like the friends that I did have were just kind of inconsistent in a way of like, when I was around them, everything was cool. But then like, you know, when we would get around other people, then they would kind of change and be really negative towards me. And so they didn't really encourage me in that way. But I was lucky enough to where, you know, me and my brother were always really close and my mother as well, you know.
Did you know what you wanted to be when you was at school?
I had aspirations to pursue a culinary career. Like I wanted to be a chef.
Yeah.
and that obviously, yeah, I wanted to be a chef and a barber as well. And I'm kind of glad that I'm not in the food industry.
Okay. I'm going to ask you for track four, please, Leon. Tell me the first song that you remember buying from a record store, please.
The first album was this album by Ginuwine called The Life. And that was just my thing. Like I didn't, R&B was my thing, you know, growing up. I rarely listened to hip hop, and I miss, I miss the time, you know, the times of actually going to a store and buying an album. And you know, it's just really nice to have something tangible, you know?
I think without kind of, you know, sounding like an old man, the only thing that I do, I embrace the fact that there's so many places now where within 2 seconds I can have any song I want on my phone and hear it. You know, I think that's incredible. And you know, it means I can listen to whatever, whenever. I love that. But the one thing that I do miss, I love, you know, I'm at an age where all of my first purchases were vinyl, and not just the idea of attaching that to a journey of going to a record store and buying it and having something tangible, but it's the artwork. That's the thing I miss. Like, I think looking, you know, putting a record on and sitting there and looking at the sleeve and studying the notes and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I miss. I think that's something that we've definitely lost through technology. Yes, obviously everybody's got album artwork, and I'm sure every artist is as passionate about getting it right as possible. But there's something nice about seeing that on a 12-inch record. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's amazing that, you know, vinyl has kind of resurfaced in a way. Mm. You know, to where, you know, people, you know, a lot of people, you know, are they at least got a little Crosley, you know, vinyl player in their crib. So I think that's amazing. You know, that people are still interested in you know, in some of those, you know, tangible mediums. Yeah.
Okay, so moving forward a little bit for track five, I'm going to ask you, Leon, please, to tell me the song that soundtracked your year's clubbing.
Yeah, for me, it was March Madness by Future. And, you know, honestly, I really love, you know, what that whole scene out there in Atlanta. But for me, you know, it's just one of those songs that, like, as soon as it comes on, you know, I try to find all my homies and we all get together and like sing the lyrics, and it's like really strong sense of camaraderie, you know. And I think Atlanta is so intriguing to me because when you look at the trajectory, you know, it's literally Outkast, you know, in at a certain time, and then you have Future and Young Thug and all those guys. And yeah, he's definitely one of my favorite artists.
Am I right in saying you was born in Atlanta?
I was. Yeah.
And I mean, also, you know, if you cast your mind back to like the early 90s on a completely different genre, I mean, arguably in the early 90s, REM were the biggest band in the world, and, you know, and straight out of Atlanta, Georgia, I believe. And there were so many, you know, guitar bands coming out on the sort of flip side of that. And yeah, it's definitely an interesting place that throws out a proper mixed bag of artists. And
totally.
Yeah. What did you want from it? Or what do you still want? I mean, you're a young man. What do you still want from a night clubbing? What's the perfect night's clubbing?
Right. You know, a lot of people ask me, what do I do in my downtime? You know, and that's it for me. You know, I love the, you know, the energy of, you know, just going out and interacting with people, you know, and then on another tip, you know, like where there's a club, there's beautiful women, you know, and it's, you know, nice to, you know, just have a good time and get some drinks,
you know? And so and also, you know, you stepped up the courage to go and dance in front of your school in a talent show. Are you now super comfortable dancing? You get in a club, you're happy to dance now?
Sorry, say that again.
You know, you said that you stepped up and shocked your school by dancing in the dance in the talent show. Is dancing something you're completely comfortable with now in public?
Oh, absolutely. It's so weird because, like, you know, I'm still that shy person, you know, but it's like when I'm in my element of something that I've kind of, when I'm kind of, and when I'm in my element of something that I'm a little gifted in, then I feel totally comfortable. Yeah. And, you know, I literally sing and dance in front of thousands of people, you know, when I'm on the road. So, yeah.
I mean, we spoke about confidence, and one of the other things that I always like to ask musicians, I mean, you saying you was, you know, contemplating, you know, working as a chef, which is a difficult industry to, you know, ridiculous hours, unsociable hours. I mean, you've chose to be a working musician, which is equally as difficult and ridiculous hours and such. However, the music industry is so difficult to reach the level of success that you've had. You know, yeah. And you're there, you know, enjoying it, and so confidence aside, would you say that you're driven?
Definitely. And I think what fuels my fire is the fact that, like, soul music and jazz is essentially dying within the Black community. And I think...
Explain, like, a little bit more about what you mean there, Leon. I'm quite interested as to what that, where you're going with that.
Well, it's like the things, the type of like the music that we gravitate towards changes. And it's, and what we, and I honestly can't speak for the Black community as a whole.
Of course.
But for the most part, what we gravitate towards now is like rap music on a big level, and which is great. But if, and when you look at like, you know, Black artists, it's very far and few in between to like find artists who are making Black artists that are making soul music. And sorry, I did a horrible job at
elaborating. Not at all.
But and that's why for myself, like I try to find ways of integrating, you know, soul music and jazz and all that kind of thing within this kind of modern R&B context, and in hopes of that being, you know, just like a way of the listener to maybe go and find the artist that I'm inspired by, yeah. You know, like the pioneers.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you've seen this, but I saw it yesterday and I can't shut up about it. But have you watched the Summer of Soul documentary that Questlove made?
Oh, I've been to see that. That's been on my list.
Man, it's spectacular.
I'm gonna watch it tonight.
Yeah, it's a bit special. It really is, and the genres of music that was on this one stage that it would appear that just everybody made that concert go away. It was just hidden, and it's remarkable. And it's one of the most moving documentaries I've ever seen. So yeah, if you've not seen it, oh my god, you're in for such a treat. You really are.
Yeah, that's crazy that like that footage was just sitting around like that, you know.
And you know, this is like Stevie Wonder, like Sly and the Family Stone, Nina Simone, all of these people. So people are constantly got a thirst for retrospective footage of these icons. Do you know what I mean? And the fact that that's just been buried is just madness. But yeah, it's there in glorious Technicolor now, and it's wonderful.
Wow.
Track 6, going to take you home. Favorite song from an artist from your home county, please. Your hometown.
Yes. My favorite song from an artist in my hometown is Stay by my good friend, Abraham Alexander. And he's just a really good friend of mine. And it's really awesome to see, you know, artists, you know, worth that really took the time, you know, to perfect their craft and refine the sound. And he's actually going to be opening up for me on my tour in the fall.
I mean, I hadn't heard of him until you sent this list over, and I listened to that track, and then I see that he'd covered Chris Isaak's Wicked Game as well. Holy shit, man. That it's special. It's special. And yeah, so just a thank you really for introducing me to a new artist. And that's very much the case for the last track. And you get to play Tastemaker and an influencer here. And so for that track, Leon, I'm going to ask you please to tell me a song that many people may not know that you would like them to hear.
Song that many people may not know. It was it Waiting Around to Die? by Townes Van Zandt?
Yeah.
Cool. Waiting Around to Die by Townes Van Zandt. You know, as a Fort Worth musician, you know, I'm honored to be just a little speck amongst, you know, such a wide lineage of artists to come out of here, and Townes Van Zandt is one of them. And just the way that he's able to, you know, convey, you know, emotion and just like some of his experiences and the way he's able to paint that picture, in his lyrics just really brings the listener in. And he was an artist that I was listening to heavy, in kind of a dark period, in my life. And, you know, when I would put on his album, you know, it definitely gave me this sense of peace. And, yeah, he's one of my favorite songwriters, Townes Van Zandt, for sure.
When you wake up and you're having a dark day, and what's your kind of go-to musically? Is it, do you, you know, reach for something upbeat to try and sort of, you know, move on? Or are you happy to listen to something that, you know, soothes that and kind of helps you kind of process maybe having a low day? You know, do you reach for something more kind of soul searching and somber?
Yeah. You know, sometimes I'll put on something, you know, that's a little bit, I guess, of a lighter, like uplifting kind of tune. And sometimes, like, I just want to, you know, kind of bask in sadness and just cry it out, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, and listen to something like Townes Van Zandt.
Well, people can go and check that out, because what we do, Leon, is we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany the podcast, so people can go and listen to all of the tracks that we've spoken about today. And as you know, it appears that the latter half of 2021 is going to be a much different beast to the first half. With that in mind, what are you looking forward to from the rest of this year personally, and what's going to be happening professionally?
Yeah. You know, honestly, you know, I'm really looking forward to just getting back out on the road. You know, I love that music really cultivates community, yeah. You know, and, you know, people who wouldn't normally exist in certain places are there because of the music. And, you know, I really love, like, you know, the energy of, you know, of people just like, you know, in the crowd singing all the lyrics, and there's, you know, this collective effervescence, you know, in the crowd. And it's, you know, it's so beautiful to see, you know. And so I'm excited to get on the road. And you know, there's, you know, I'm dropping another EP with this band called Kurungbin. We released something in 20, I think it was top of 2020, but yeah, it's pretty much it for me.
And I think it's the anticipation of live music again now, and the thought that, you know, I've been blessed. I got to see the Gorillaz in London a couple of weeks ago, and out come De La Soul, and so many different artists come out with them, and as much as I was transfixed at who was on stage, the rest of the time I was just staring around this room, you know, at the O2, and just looking at connection and
yes.
The smiles and the joy of
right.
People being it could have been any band on that stage, to be honest. It was just joy, and it was pure joy of just seeing. And you could tell what the crowd were giving the band were giving straight back. And it was, everybody was so desperate for what was happening. You know, it was such a glorious thing. And I think that, you know, as we're seeing tours, you know, rescheduled tours and new tours all being announced and it happening, I think the latter half of this year is just going to be glorious and full of, you know, as you said, like, you know, people coming together and you know, that kind of connection. That's what we've missed, I think.
Exactly. And yeah, we were deprived of that, you know, for about a year, you know. Yeah. And I'm happy that things are kind of gradually getting back to normal.
Excellent. And when flights are allowed, hope to see you in the UK as well.
Oh, definitely. You gotta come through.
Absolutely. Leon, thank you so much for your time today. It's been really nice to count down these tracks with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a good day.
Ah, thanks, man. There you have it. Leon Bridges. Ah, lovely. What an absolute gentleman. Great to get to spend a bit of time with somebody, you know, that you really admire musically as well. And yeah, I'm still kind of buzzing. I'm doing this intro and outro straight after having that chat. And yeah, and also, you know, as I said to Leon, Summer of Soul documentary on, I think it's on Disney Channel. Oh my God, it's worth signing up to Disney Channel alone just to watch that documentary. And I'm not sponsored by it, I promise you. It just knocked me sideways, and you're going to love it. If you listen to this podcast and you like your music and, you know, you like being a bit nerdy with it and you like being moved by music, then that doc, oh, yeah, knock you sideways. Okay, I'm back next time. In the meantime, please go give us a like, love, share on the socials. Subscribe if you know, on whatever platform you like to listen to this podcast on, and explore the back catalogue, please, because there's bundles. And yeah, are we done? There's a Patreon. I've told you about that before, so it's all over on www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. I'm back next time. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and thanks again. Love you. Bye-bye.
It's Off the Beat and Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. Keep me, Stu Whippin.